welcome to Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I am your host, always, Ednar. I'm joined by my two co-hosts tonight. I got Coleman. How you doing, Coleman?
Not too bad. I think I'm on the wrong show, though. I thought this was something else. I need to go. I'm in the wrong place.
No, you're not. Shut up. Shut up. The other guy you see on our wonderful screen there, the proud fan of the Eagles, who had a wonderful draft this weekend.
They got like two players. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's great. They had no picks.
Yeah. Hey, we.
You know why they had no picks? Because they traded them for players that helped them win the Super Bowl. So I'm not upset.
Hey, I'm a Packer fan. We had a great day. We destroyed the Saints in a trade. We got their first round pick next year too.
That was. Ooh. Oh yeah.
So they could trade up to take a defensive end.
Yeah, we got boned by the Cardinals.
Like, kind of a project from what everybody said.
Not UT that... San Antonio. So,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this or any of the listeners. I follow the draft more than I follow the actual NFL. Like, the draft is bigger to me than any other sporting event out there. So, like, I went to Iowa to the casinos for 2 days, and I just sat there in the sports book, watching the draft, betting on the draft, doing all that fun stuff. So it was interesting. It was a fun time down in Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque.
Sounds exciting.
Do you research the players and watch like tape and stuff on them and everything?
All of it.
So how many players do you research?
Usually around like the fourth, fifth round is when I start getting into players that I'm like, I don't know them.
And then it's like, I don't care anymore. It's like, whatever, go away.
Yeah, that's kind of like how I am with the NBA draft. I've never really been that way with football unless the Eagles had a high pick. Because just too many players. And I don't really watch a lot of college football, so I'd have to... Like, do you watch a lot of college football?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so you like.
I live in Madison. We got the Badgers.
You see some of these players naturally throughout the year. I don't really watch a ton of college football anymore because the odds of me trying to get a Saturday and a Sunday to watch football in the fall with a kid now is like 0%. So I pick Sunday.
Fair. Okay. But all right. Yeah. So let's digress past the NFL. It was a massive week in Star Wars: Galaxy of Heroes. Massive week.
Oh. I thought that we were going to talk about how Dave started with a hat, and now we all have hats.
Yeah, Dave started the whole thing. Dave started with the hat. You went to some weird hat. I got a Brewer hat on. You know, it works.
It does. It does.
I mean, you look less like the Unabomber tonight, Coleman, than
normal. Hey, screw it.
So,
I don't know what that is. I need to go look it up.
Oh, God, you're so young.
Hey.
You don't know who the Unabomber is. All right.
Let me go see. I will pull up my phone.
Do not Google the Unabomber. So, all right, let's talk. We got some reworks coming in. What everyone knew was coming. The Bounty Hunter reworks, and we got Bossk. So what we're going to spend the majority of the time tonight talking about is said reworks. So we'll just jump right in. Now, remember, they only
is that really what I look like?
Yes. You don't know what you look like?
No.
Yeah, that's what you look like.
Huh,
so,
okay.
So only the OG, bounty hunters got reworks. So your Zam and Cad Bane, piss off. You got nothing. So IG-88, Boba, Greedo, and Dengar got reworks. So we'll start with IG-88 first. And I'm just going to read what changed, really. So in IG-88's first special, Rapid Fire, it now inflicts target lock on enemies that are critically hit for 3 turns. So this is the first time outside of Imperial Probe Droid we've seen target lock.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Coleman, you play IPD a lot, Imperial Probe Droid. For those who might not know, what does target lock do?
So target lock is different for. It seems like it's different for Imperial Probe Droid and IG-88.
Mm-hmm.
In that, IG-88 will scan all enemies, you know, wipe their buffs away, implant target lock, which that prevents them from gaining any buffs if he's zated. But with the IG-88, you're now preventing, if you have a Zeta, you're preventing health regen, and is that it?
But it's for health, it's health and protection regen. They can't get anything back.
Yeah, they can't. They won't be gaining anything. The only issue I still have with it is that they can still gain turn meter and they can still cleanse it off. So if you're playing against a heavy cleansing team like Rex or General Kenobi or R2-D2 light side team, they're gonna have no issues getting rid of it.
Yeah, he does. He does. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that he if they're target locked, he it helps him from a health regen perspective too, and then he gets plus 50% evasion against target locked enemies.
Yes.
So I think that's all with the Zeta.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure maybe some of those.
But that's I mean, so the target lock is significant. I mean, again, if you can clear it, then it becomes less so. But it really does make him quite good because we all know he can't stay alive. This will help him stay alive. And
oh god, he's horrible.
Like, yeah, it's like trying to keep IG-88 alive as possible.
I mean, that's why
literally like one smack from Wampa and he'd be dead.
Yeah, that's the thing with IG-88 is super powerful. Except he dies to sneeze, and they do address that situation. So that's just his first special: is the inflict target lock on enemies that are critically hit for 3 turns. And with IG-88, you're going to be critting all the time. So this is a great change. So we'll get to his leadership first. So the final text for his leadership is going to be all allies gain plus 20% crit chance and inflict a dot effect whenever they score a critical hit. And what's added is when IG-88 is in the leader slot and not the ally slot, the following contract is active. Now I want to point that out is because contracts you're going to see go up left and right with these bounty hunters. So each character has a leadership ability. So a contract is something, we'll try and put it in layman terms, is it's when the team accomplishes a mission. So it's kill the first character that attacks you, kill the highest health character, kill the lowest health character, stuff like that. So when you complete that, your whole team gets a buff if they're all bounty hunters. Now, each character also gets an individual contract. So you get the contract of the leader plus your individual contract when one is completed. But all you have to do is complete the contract of the leader, not each person. So it's very critical on who you have in the leadership spot. And you
for the extra one.
Yes, for the extra one. And the one, and sometimes it's going to be easier for, depending on the team, you might be switching out leaders left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might be easier to finish a contract with against this team versus against this other team, so on and so forth. So, IG-88's contract, when he is the leader, is contract, score critical hits against debuffed enemies 10 times. So that is what you have to do to earn the contract. 10 crit hits. Not with your basic. Should be really easy to do. I mean, IG-88's AoE and Boba Fett's AoE will probably net you 8 crits between the two of them. So just with those two abilities, you're 8 out of 10. You just need 2 other crits. So it will be easy to get. Now, what do you get when you beat that contract? You get all bounty hunter allies gain plus 25% offense and potency for the rest of the battle. I like this lead. I mean, I think there are other leads, but this is a decent go-to lead that doesn't have a Zeta attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we'll talk about ideal teams once we get through them all, but,
yeah.
I mean, IG-88, we're off to a good start. So,
yeah.
they added the unique adaptive aim algorithm with a Zeta. So the final text for Zeta will be IG-88 has plus 45% critical damage, which I believe is what it was before. And this is where they made him less I'm going to die to a sneeze. He recovers 50% health whenever he damages target locked enemy. In addition, he has plus 20% offense for each debuffed enemy and plus 50% evasion against target locked enemies. So while IG-88 is active, target locked enemies can't recover health or protection. So he will be, it's not like they boosted his health. I mean, his protection or anything like that. They boosted his health, obviously. He recovers 50% health. But he's just going to be dodging things left and right. You have two target locks up, and he's just going to dodge. 100% evasion? Yeah, you're not going to hit him.
Yeah.
So this is basically almost purely survival Zeta.
Hey, I got a question. Never mind. I take it back. We're good. I'm figuring things out in my mind as I'm doing this, and I was going to ask it, but I already answered it in my own mind. So we can continue. We're good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll continue on. All right. So we'll talk about IG-88's individual contract. Now, this is a contract that he gets whether he's the leader or another bounty hunter is the leader, and the contract is completed. So whenever IG-88 receives rewards from a contract, he also gains the following payout. Payout for the result, rest of the battle, IG-88's critical hits to enemies reduce their tenacity by 10%, stacking. His attacks ignore 50% defense of target locked enemies, and he has plus 25% offense if there's an enemy with target lock. On the surface, it's not the best outside of raids. It's not game changing, but the minus 10% tenacity is huge in the Sith raid. How I see it. Coleman, you're muted.
Sorry. well, I was kind of thinking that really, if you want to run an IG-88, you should probably run Imperial Probe Droid. Only
in arena.
Well, I think in general, because those target locks aren't really, they might need help sticking sometimes. An Imperial Probe Droid, you know, and IPD, they both have target locks, so there's always going to be a chance you're going to have a target lock.
Yeah, there's always that chance. Now, when you do have Imperial Probe Droid out, you're losing synergy. With the whole, like, that's something to take into account. Like, if you put in Imperial Probe Droid, which was the first thing everyone's mind shot to when they heard target lock on IG-88, and the synergy is, ooh, this will work great with with Imperial Probe Droid. But when you take out that synergy and you lose, let's say, the contract from, because you'd probably take out Greedo or Dengar, are you going to want to take out the benefits of having a Dengar because just to help IG-88? And then Imperial Probe Droid doesn't benefit from any of the contracts. Like, if let's say you have Boss, if you have Boss leadership, and then he doesn't, so Imperial Probe Droid won't benefit from the speed you get, which will get to Boss kit. Like, that's something you're going to have to take into account. Now, it probably will be more beneficial to have Imperial Probe Droid in there. It's a matter of who you take out.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. And we don't know any of this stuff until we get our hands on Bossk. Like,
yeah, Bossk seems to be the big, he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Probably.
He's the leader. They've made it so there's no set leader, I think. It's a set leader depending on what you're trying to do.
I think out of all of them I've looked at, Dengar's probably the weakest leader.
Yes. I'd say, and we'll get to Greedo. Greedo's lead is probably, I like Greedo's lead second best to Bossk, that is. So that's IG-88 in a nutshell. It's basically, he's going to become a killing machine, but you're going to have to invest a Zeta on him to make him semi-survivable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, for a lot of people, an extra Zeta for one character who's not a lead and it's not a game-changing Zeta, a lot of people may not be willing to spend it on him. But,
yeah,
you know, I will.
We'll see how it goes.
I mean, I think I have him already at gear 12. See, I took my stash of Omegas, and I got every character up, all the bounty hunters, all their contracts maxed, all that stuff.
Lucky you, because I'm in an Omega crunch, man.
I mean, I'm gonna be after Boss comes out.
I think I have a total of 6 Omegas right now, so you're pretty lucky.
I think I have 30, but I still have to put Zetas on. So, like, that will...
Yeah, there goes most of them right there.
Yeah, so that will... Yeah. Put the... So, let's get on to Boba Fett, the one who probably didn't get the biggest rework, because he was semi-viable before. Like, if you were to play any bounty hunter, you were going to use Boba Fett.
Yeah, he already has rework back when Zetas came out, and it was a pretty good rework. So I can't argue that they didn't rework him again, except for like a little tweak to his execute, which made him that much better.
Yeah. So
yeah, I actually think it's a really smart change what they did.
Yeah. Oh God, yes. So that change we're talking about, the only change to his actual kit outside of the contracts was on his execute. All right, I'll read the whole thing. So it deals physical damage to target enemy and dispel all buffs and debuffs on them. Deal 30% more damage for each effect dispelled. If this attack defeats the target, they can't be revived, and Boba Fett reduces his cooldowns by 1. Otherwise, inflict healing immunity for 2 turns. So basically, if they don't kill the person, they get a healing immunity on them for 2 turns.
Yeah, that's great. Because, like, I mean... This is going back a long ways, but he was like one of the good counters to the Chase meta, mm-hmm. if you remember, because he could like one shot like Chirrut or Baze sometimes, depending on the amount of buffs they had or debuffs. But if you hit them and say they were left with a sliver of health, those sons of bitches would heal like that, mm-hmm. and you'd be right back to full health. So. This is great because if you just don't get enough damage to finish somebody off, they're not going to be able to immediately heal. I mean, unless of course they're cleansed, which I think is pretty great. Gives you like another opportunity maybe with the guy that's going next or whatever to finish that character off before they can heal. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now they did add a contract to his leadership ability, like they did the rest, and his contract you beat the contracted, defeat the first enemy that takes a turn in any encounter. Okay, so that's all you gotta do. First person who attacks. So right now, Radahn. When Radahn attacks, if he's the first one you kill, you get this. And that gives all bounty hunter allies plus 25% tenacity for the rest of the battle. It's the weakest of the leadership contracts.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody. We're 2.5 years, almost 3 years into the game, right? And I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me that tenacity matters on normal characters.
Yeah. Now, this is smart of them because Boba Fett already had the strongest leadership ability before this. I mean, they can't make it even stronger. So, you're not going to use him as the leader with the rest of them. But his individual contract is legit. So this is a contract Boba gets when any contract is beat. It's Boba Fett gains 100% turn meter and for the rest of the battle has plus 50 speed and additional defense penetration equal to 200% of his defense penetration. I mean, the speed alone is is pretty scary. I mean, I don't know much about defense penetration, though.
It's really good against characters with, like, your Sith Trooper, like, Sith Trooper's defense is crazy. That's why he doesn't take damage when you hit him, and you're, like, wondering why you're, like, you know, punching a brick wall sometimes when you're hitting characters like that.
Yeah.
Their defense is really high, so it just helps you whittle down. Like, your standard character doesn't really have a ton of defense anyway, so you're going to be able to kind of gun... Like, that's one of the issues with someone like, Holdo. I think Holdo's defense was pretty crappy, so you could, like, run through her for a tank. She would just take massive damage. But, like, so to get through someone like Sith Trooper, not that Sith Trooper's super prevalent right now, but I guess people are using him, it's helpful for those characters with high defense.
Yeah, I mean, overall...
It just mitigates their defense, so you do the damage at the level that you're probably more accustomed to doing damage with other characters that don't have the high defense. Just kind of standardizes it a little bit.
Well, yeah. Well, you can look at OG Kylo, too, though.
As he
gets hit, his defense stacks up, and he becomes sort of an ass to kill. But with defense penetration, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have all that, on top of that, you're just like, oh, and here's plus 50 speed. All right. Gotcha.
I'll take a plus 50 speed all day.
And 100% turn meter to get a turn off, so that's extra execute, extra AoE. It's just, this is an insane contract. Like,
yeah.
It's just. It made Boba Fett better. Let's just go with that.
It's almost so good that you, like, want to make sure you choose one of the leader contracts that's the super, like, the easiest to obtain. I mean, they're all relatively easy to obtain when you really think about them, but the second you get there, he just becomes, again, another... They have a lot of killing machines. Well, as we get through this, we'll start to realize, like, this team is really going to deal damage.
Definitely off the bat, though, I think the healthiest enemy, or the one with the most health, is going to be the easiest to kill. That's because that's going to generally be the tank who taunts. It just takes all the hits anyway.
We'll get to that. I mean, I have some thoughts on the contracts, but we have another character to go over. Greedo. Yes, Greedo. So one of the most useless characters in the game is now useful. So they basically redid basically his entire kit. So we'll just throw this out there. His basic, his who shot first, final text, deal physical damage to target enemy, and then they added, with a 70% chance to gain potency up for one turn, when attacking an enemy with a thermal detonator, this attack has plus 25% crit damage. Potency up, extra crit damage, more thermal detonators.
Yep.
Win-win.
The potency up is good for the detonators, so that they stick.
Yeah. And doesn't he have a chance to... I believe he has a chance to double tap.
Well, you'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Alright, yeah. His first special, Explosive Sabotage. That's his thermal detonator. So, the final text will now read, thermal detonators on all enemies... place thermal detonators on all enemies that explode after two turns. And they added, when these thermal detonators explode, Greedo gains 25% turn meter. So, I mean, if you have four more characters, Greedo, every two turns, is getting 100% turn meter if they explode. That's the way I see it.
Pretty much, yeah. And...
Yeah, I wish it wasn't just his detonators, as we'll see with Dengar. I wish it was just all, but I get maybe where that would be too much. But
it might be a bit much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry, Coleman, go ahead.
Yeah, go home. Coleman, you were going to say?
Oh, I'm still trying to figure out how to type in Twitch, so figure it out.
Oh, that whole reading writing at the same time just doesn't work for you?
It's difficult on a phone, okay?
Fair enough. All right, let's go to the brand new ability they gave Greedo. And his second special is Threaten, and it is a Zeta ability. So, it reads, all allies gain critical chance up for two turns. Reduce target enemy's turn meter. And it can't be resisted except by raid bosses. By an amount equal to Greedo's crit chance.
Which means it still won't matter in Heroic Sith, because he'll still resist everything.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was basically put in there to not cheese probably the Heroic AAT. All right. Yeah. So after that, then Greedo gains an equal amount of turn meter removed this way. And then if the target is reduced to less than 20% turn meter, stun them for one turn, which can't be resisted. Additionally, dispel all buffs on target enemy. This attack can't be evaded. So what you're looking at is a dispel, a stun, turn meter gain, turn meter removal, crit chance up for your team with one special. Yeah. Now, one thing I will be interested in is if that crit chance up, if they take that into account when they reduce target enemy's turn meter before or after the buff goes on him.
I want to say they write these in the order with which the thing happens, so it should, technically. Because everyone should gain crit chance up, then he should reduce the turn meter by an equal amount, then he gains the turn meter, then, because it's like if-then statements, so like I feel like then he'll gain that turn meter, then it'll look at the 20% turn meter, then it would stun them, and then it's also dispelling, but that dispel is what kind of confuses me, because I'm like, well, does it, like, typically you would do that first, so I guess we'll see, but it would be ideal if it did do that, but the beauty of it is you can get his crit chance pretty high, because his base unique gives him plus 15% crit chance anyway, so you can pump that up even if that doesn't happen, even if that didn't take effect.
I mean, so basically what you're saying, if you do this right, you're going to be able to take away 100% turn meter from someone.
Potentially, yeah, yeah.
In theory, because you're going to mod him probably because of this ability with crit chance.
Yes, you should be able to get pretty darn close without a ton of effort, I would say.
And then all of that, and then it stuns them as well. So, because, I mean, all you have to do is remove 80% of the turn meter, and it stuns them. And that's if they're at full turn meter. Because if they're 20% or below, you know, they get stunned, and it can't be resisted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a super
You should have very little difficulty in some below 20%. It's really good. It's a really good move.
It's great for getting past a tank. I mean, you have that pesky tank sometimes. Right there. I mean, it dispels taunt off them. It stuns them. Removes their turn meter. Gives you turn meter. Like, I mean, you're basically going to use this, get all the turn meter back, and then throw out all your thermal detonators. Mm-hmm. That's one hell of an opening for Greedo.
And then on top of that, if we have Dengar, you're just going to add more thermal detonators.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I do not know, and this is the noob in me, is if the thermal detonators are dispelled, that means they're not technically detonated, correct?
Right.
Okay.
They're just being, I guess,
removed? Because they don't explode.
Removed. Yeah, they don't. If they cause damage, they go off. They detonate.
Okay. All right. That's because then that, I mean, if they change that, then that would get rid of the, I mean, you wouldn't want to run a cleanse team.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we wouldn't want to run any team.
Well, true. But, all right. And then let's go over his leadership ability, which got changed. So.
Whoa, Dave just teleported. Holy crap.
Dave did not just teleport. He leaned forward.
He teleported on my screen.
He leaned forward.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Robot Dave.
Yes.
We got Robot Dave.
I think it was frozen. I think that, like, the connection went out for a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All
right. So
which is actually weird on my phone. This is so odd.
All right. Okay.
As we have our spaz attack.
All right, let's just move on to his leadership. All right. So the leadership for Greedo is final text. Scoundrel allies gain 50% crit damage. Great. And then when what's added is when Greedo is the leader slot and not the ally slot, the following contract is active. As always. Here's his contract. To complete it, you need to damage an enemy with less than 50% turn meter 10 times with a basic ability. And then if you do that, all bounty hunter allies have plus 50% crit damage for the rest of the battle.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's a lot of crit damage. Especially in the raid with thermal detonators going off, you're just going to be stacking critical damage or crit and killing people. Critical damage skyrockets.
Yeah, no, it probably does. I mean, this is a raid leadership. Because, I mean, you think about it, damaging the side, the adds in the Sith raid, you can damage them plenty of times with a basic under that, and this gives all your bounty hunters 100% crit damage.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
Like, they're going to be putting up some... Especially if you can keep IG-88 alive, he's going to be hitting big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of damage.
If you keep IG-88 alive, that's the issue.
Yeah. So that's why I like this one, is because the 100% crit damage is boss.
Yeah, definitely. Am I still a robot?
No, you're not a robot.
No,
we can talk
no.
Oh,
okay. My chat is just doing horrible on my phone. I might have to go pull out a computer.
Oh, so, all right, let's talk about Greedo's. Let's talk about Greedo's individual payout, which is nothing to sneeze at either. So, when Greedo, whenever he completes a contract, Greedo has plus 50% health steal, plus 25% crit damage, and plus 75% counter chance until the end of the battle. So he's gonna attack you. He's gonna heal from it. He's gonna do more damage. Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah,
that's a good. That makes him a must include in any bounty hunter team. Because I mean, especially if you're rocking, what was it? God, even his basic ability. Yeah, his leadership ability. When he has the counter chance, you're going to be attacking a person with under 50% turn meter because they would have already gone. So he's going to counter them with his basic and do more damage that way. So, I mean, that alone is going to add to getting his contract completed quicker.
So. Right. And his unique, which they don't put here because it didn't change. You alluded to it earlier. He has a 50% chance if he crits to attack again, and I'm assuming that'll happen on the counters too.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna want to stack as much crit chance as humanly possible on Greedo, and just go to town.
Yep.
Like Greedo could be the all-star of the reworks, in my mind, just from all the possibilities that he has.
So. Oh, I think he's definitely the all-star just because he went from a character who was useless to one who's now quite fun. Which, I mean, the rework is supposed to do that. Like, you shouldn't rework a character and have him still stink. But that, like, 50% health steal is huge because it was really hard. He's another one that has, like, such a small health pool.
Mm-hmm.
And now if he double taps on a counter or even, if you know, double taps at all on his basic... plus 50% health steal, plus all the damage he does, right? That's a lot of health back. You know, he should be able to fill himself up pretty much every time he attacks. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's actually quite effing good.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Let's get to our last rework, which would be Dengar. And I'll say this ahead of time. Dengar is the one character I think you could plug and play on another team, and he doesn't need the synergy. But we'll get to that. So, a couple of changes to his first special, Blast and Smash. Final text, deal physical damage to target enemy with a, it's now changed to 75% chance to inflict speed down for 3 turns. If the target had 50% turn meter or more, they're also stunned for 1 turn. So, they just added the 75%. What was it before? Was it 50?
I'll look.
Yeah.
But this is Blast and Smash?
Yeah, Blast and Smash.
I mean, that's what it was 50%, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not the main thing. His second special, the Mini Mind Mayhem. That is the one that is going to be awesome.
This is my favorite.
All right. So I'll just read the final text. So deal physical damage to all enemies. They added deal physical damage to two times. Deal physical damage two times to random enemies, dealing 50% less damage. So basically more attacks. Then inflict negative effects on all enemies that suffer critical hits. Effects inflicted depend on the number of critical hits scored. So one critical hit, tenacity down for 3 turns. Two critical hits, damage over time for 3 turns, and gain stealth for 2 turns. Three critical hits, 50% turn meter reduction. Then finally, apply one thermal detonator to a random enemy target for each bounty hunter ally. This attack can't be countered. So, yeah. I mean, the big thing to this is, I mean, you're going to deal damage to two times to random enemies. Dealing, all right, whatever. It's the apply one thermal detonator to a random enemy target for each bounty hunter ally. Like, if you're running a bounty hunter team, you're throwing 5 thermal detonators on one person.
Yeah. And then just wait for them to go off, and it's gone.
Yeah, because if it's not cleansed, they're going to die. Unless they're, like, a super beefy tank.
Well, even then, it does health percentage damage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if it's a super beefy tank.
But a lot of beefy tanks also have a lot of protection. So yeah. they won't die, but they'll have a lot of they'll be damaged beyond repair.
Mm. I still think you're whacking that tank for so long. If it's super beefy, its protection is most likely gone. If it's toward the end of the battle.
Well, yeah, if it's towards the end of the battle, but I mean, who says it's towards the end of the battle?
Yeah.
So
he did.
Yeah, Coleman did.
I did. You heard it here. Coleman said it first.
All right. They also gave him a leadership ability, which he did not have before. So this gives all the bounty hunters, the reworked ones, a leadership ability. And it says, bounty hunter allies have plus 50% health steal. In addition, all enemies have minus 50% crit damage. And then when Dengar's in the leader slot and not the ally slot, the following contract is active. So to complete his contract is damage the healthiest enemy 10 times. And if you do that, all enemies have minus 20% offense for the rest of the battle. It's probably the easiest contract to complete.
But it's not the best payout.
And it's not the best actual leadership.
No.
I mean, yes, it's a good leadership, but there are better leaderships. Mm-hmm. Like, the minus 50% crit damage is kind of cool.
Yeah,
but that's only against specific teams.
Yeah.
Like if you're going up against a Pelt team, they don't rely on crits. So this is not nothing major.
Yeah, the 50% health steal thing is like really intriguing to me because there's like a picture here that this leader paints of team sustainability, right? Is what it ends up being all about. Mm-hmm. Is that like by reducing the offense and the damage that the other team can do and giving such a boost to your health steal, which if you know, obviously a lot of the other characters have the ability to regen health and, you know, Boba has the ability to regen health and protection. Like they have the ability to heal themselves that like maybe the play here is like, this is the type of team that can keep you, that you use to get through to enrage and something in the Sith raid. I don't know if that's exactly how it's supposed to work, but it like to read it tells you the whole purpose of this is to try to get your team to sustain over the long haul, even if you're not going to do say as much damage as you do with like a Greedo lead or a Boba lead. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to play around with because I think there's some potential like awesomeness there as far as, you know, building a team that just can't be killed because they just heal up at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, that would be nice. So it will be an interesting lead.
Yeah.
To do it, but that is not the best part of his kit. his unique is now the greatest thing. So his unique, Grizzled Veteran. When Dengar receives a critical hit, he gains stealth for 2 turns. Whenever an enemy evades Dengar's attacks, he gains +60% turn meter. Whenever Dengar suffers a debuff, he gains tenacity up for 2 turns. Here's what they added. When Dengar is stealthed, enemies can't gain stealth. Whenever this ability effect trigger, Dengar recovers 3% health and protection.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a big upgrade. I think it's, if you can figure out a way to work Dengar into your arena team, if your arena's filled with a lot of JTRs or a lot of, I guess, Zol or whatever you want to, a lot of stealth characters, Dengar'd be great.
Zol?
Hey.
I'm like, what is this? Is this 2016 or
yes.
What are we doing here?
2016.
I was actually thinking.
Went and dumped more dirt on the Zol grave, which has been covered over for a very long time. But it really does. It's like really good against R2, you know. And he's still used, obviously. If there's anyone still hanging on to rebel teams or
JTRs,
yeah.
I mean, I was actually thinking of it more in the aspect of Darkside Territory battles. All those little shits
all
that
spies.
Stealth.
Yeah,
won't be able to
jerks.
Stealth. Yes.
Yeah.
Like.
It definitely is good there too. I mean, obviously these bounty hunters are going to be incredibly good.
But the thing is you don't need him. You don't need him to be on a bounty hunter team for this to work. So, like, if you don't have all your bounty hunters up, you can get Dengar up, you can plug him into a team and get the benefits that way.
Totally. But he does have that cool contract you'll get to in a second where the stealth plays even more into bounty hunters. So
yes, it does. So his individual contract payout. Dengar has +25% offense and +25% speed. In addition, while Dengar is stealth, he has 60% chance to assist when another bounty hunter ally uses a special ability.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's incredibly good because he stun. No, he doesn't stun us. But yeah, what's he doing? What's his basic do?
So his basic. All right. So his basic is deal physical target to damage to target enemy. If the target is suffering from any debuff, there's a 60% chance to call an ally to assist. If the assisting ally is a scoundrel, the attack is guaranteed to be a critical hit.
Yeah, that's so.
Which
good.
If that's Greedo assisting. He's going to keep going off.
Yeah. Like,
Greedo
could just go, like, infinite.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's a special. Dengar goes. Dengar calls Greedo. Greedo double taps.
Yep.
So that's essentially, like, a quintuple hit.
Yep.
But, and you're also talking about, like, someone just used their special. So, like, say IG-88 does his special, which does massive damage already. Now you have Dengar coming in doing damage, and then you've got Greedo double tapping with there's no damage penalty, right?
No.
Nope.
No, so it's just like full death. Like, somebody might be dead. Like,
yeah.
That's
this,
really...
This might be a first order stormtrooper type.
That's like, that's really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. I mean, even Boba Fett, he can double tap on his basic.
And Boba's double taps they hit pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, oh god, even Bossk, if you had damaged the right person, when we get to his ability, his damage is doubled if it's against the right enemy. And yeah, so it's an awesome, awesome contract. You know, yeah. Plus, he gets the +25% speed and +25% offense. So, what's Dengar's speed? Because I know bounty hunters are slow as crap.
Right.
Okay. So, Dengar's speed is basically...
It's pretty low.
It's 109.
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
Yeah, but he doesn't need a lot of speed because he's going to be assisting a lot.
Yeah, but he still has atrocious speed. But with Bossk and now this, I mean, you're looking at, once a contract's paid out, if you're using Bosque lead, you get the plus 50 speed, so he's at 159 base, plus 25% speed increase. So, I mean, you're looking at, what is that, another 35, 37, whatever. So you're basically approaching 200 speed on Dengar with no mods.
Yeah, no, he's
with this contract.
And, yep. Yeah, you can get him pretty. You can get him pretty high. This team is gonna be so much fun to play with. The more and more you like read and dig into them, it's just the little reworks that, like, even something as little as this, like, speed to Dengar, just is so smart the way they rework some of these characters.
Yep. Now let's talk about the big bad that's coming, and that's the new boy Bosque.
I mean, Sirens.
Yes, Sirens.
There we go. About time.
Yeah. So, all right, Bosque, the new Scoundrel Bounty Hunter tank, not Dark Side. Oh, wait, no, it is Dark Side. All right, so let's go over his kit real quick. So his basic is Prey on the Weak, which is just deal physical damage to target enemy. The attack is guaranteed to be to critically hit and deals double damage if the target is the weakest character. Okay? Plain and simple. And it's not doing a lot of damage. I mean, it's 2,500 damage on his attack. So it's not doing a lot of damage. So double that, you're looking at, 5,000 damage on his basic. So you're not lighting the world on fire with this one. But the important part in it is when it attacks the weakest enemy. And that will be a common theme that you see with Bus' entire kit, is attacking the weakest enemy. Now, the weakest enemy, it's not going to always be the same. When the battle starts off, isn't it based on health and protection? Is, like, the weakest enemy?
Wait, I think
Coleman's
so.
Coleman's on mute. Coleman's on mute again.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how they specify weakest enemy.
The lowest total health pool, right? It should be.
Yeah.
It should be the lowest total health pool, not the person with the lowest amount of health. But I get, because I mean, realistically, they're not, unless you're like, they're not Night Sisters where you'd have people with low health but full protection. Like in this instance, like you're gonna have to burn through someone's protection. It'll be obvious who the weakest character is, and it also tells you, I think, constantly during the match. It'll tell you, so like you won't forget. It like says, like, little green thing flashes over like weakest, so you'll know who the weakest is. So, you said to pay attention.
Yeah, our cameras right now are going insane. So right now, if you're watching on Twitch, if you stop messing with things, because right now you guys just flipped. So now, if you're watching on Twitch, Coleman is now Dave, and Dave is now Coleman.
Hey.
So.
Well,
at least you're in Hawaii, Dave.
Stop.
Yeah. Oof. It's actually finally getting warm here, though.
Stop screwing with things, alright? So, let's continue on with Bosquet. Hunting Party. It is a 4-turn cooldown, AoE, so final text
is... I know what I'm about to do.
Deal physical damage to target enemy and stun them for 1 turn. Call all other Bounty Hunter allies to assist, dealing 60% less damage. If target is the weakest enemy, reduce all assisting Bounty Hunter allies' cooldowns by 1. So, I mean, it's, again, the weakest thing, the weakest character thing. Coleman, stop screwing with things.
I'm here. I had to do it once for you.
Well, you've done it like 7 times, actually. So, I mean, this is a cool ability. It's, it deals like 4,000 to 4,400 damage. It reduces cooldowns. Obviously, you're doing less damage, but...
It's a special. So what happens since it's a special?
Dengar.
And then what happens after that?
Greedo.
400 attacks. 400 attacks. So many attacks, right?
Yep.
That this could be crazy how many attacks could happen after this if he's called to assist again. And then he calls, say, Greedo. Like, that's a lot. Someone's definitely dead after this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean... you're not surviving this. The only way you're surviving this is if it's like, okay, it's General Kenobi, first attack of the fight. Like, you'd survive that. But if it's anyone other than, like, a beefy tank right at the beginning,
you're done. If it's Palp or Rex, see you later.
Yep.
Goodbye. It's been nice knowing you.
And not to mention the animation is super awesome.
It is really cool.
Let's throw the electrical net at someone. So that is pretty cool. Now let's get to his second special. Also a 4-turn cooldown. And just reads, Bossk dispels all debuffs on himself, recovers 50% health, then gains Frenzy and Taunt for 3 turns. All Bounty Hunter allies gain offense up for 2 turns.
Now, this is the second time we've only seen Frenzy pop up.
Yeah, the other one is Pow, right? I think it's Pow?
Biston.
Oh, no, Biston.
Yeah, I knew Pow was useless.
Yeah. He is the worst character ever.
All right, so what does... Frenzy actually do, for those who don't know?
So, each time an ally uses a special ability, the person with Frenzy is going to gain 100% turn meter.
So basically, he's going to be going all the time.
Pretty much. And you know, unless you can get Wampa in there and daze everybody, but...
Yeah. Now, the thing is and this is on a 4-turn cooldown, he gains Frenzy for 3 turns. So essentially, you're only going to be going 1 turn without
Frenzy. Yeah, even that's not so bad.
Yeah, but you also gain Taunt for 3 turns at the same time.
Right, and the thing is that you shouldn't be really worried about, I guess, Bossk being slow on that turn to get Frenzy back, because his base speed is 151.
Yeah,
which is pretty darn fast for a tank.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's really good. That's really fast. I was just looking at his stats. He's got some good stats on him.
His stats are up on swgoh.gg, so just like his gear and everything else.
So, alright, let's move on to his next ability, which would be his leadership. So his leadership, this is the leadership where I think everyone was waiting to see how impressive it was. So it's also a Zeta. All bounty hunters gain 50%, plus 50% max protection, and plus 50% tenacity. All bounty hunter allies gain plus 100% defense while at full health. And then whenever an enemy suffers a debuff or resists, all bounty hunter allies recover 5% health and protection. When Bossk is in the leader slot and not the ally slot, the following contract is active. And his contract is... deal damage to the lowest health enemy 10 times. Now, if you complete that, all bounty hunter allies get plus 50 speed for the rest of the battle. So, I mean, the contract is awesome in itself. The plus 50 speed. I mean, speed is king in this game. I'm not sold on his actual leadership ability. It sounds really good, but I think it's good on paper, but I don't know if it's going to be that great in real life, if that makes sense.
If you're a character who deals multiple debuffs to enemies on an AoE, does each one of those debuffs sticking mean you recover 5% health and protection?
That's a good question.
Got any debuff, or it's like each individual debuff? Because like, so say you're, because like on IG-88's AOE, right? It's now 2 debuffs he gives, or is it 3?
No, it's per debuff. I think suffers a debuff or resists. All bounty hunter allies recover 5% health recovery. So then let me... Who is he? Where is... Yeah, like, there he is.
So, like, I'll just do 88s. Because I said this to people on my... on the chat that I'm in. If you happened to have, because it's just when they suffer a debuff, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with...
Yeah.
So... If you had him with Vader, who technically gives 4 debuffs, or they can be resisted, like, this would... He would heal Bounty Hunters full. Technically. Health and protection.
Right.
Yep. 100%.
So after reading Bosk's ability, think about it. So this is Thrawn's leader ability, and we all know how Thrawn works, right?
Yeah.
Leader. Each debuff that gets resisted or whatever else not, pretty much that means 2% plus 2% plus 2%. If I put 3 dots on, that's 6%. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So it reads, so Thrawn's is... Gain 20% turn whenever they resist a detrimental effect or suffer a debuff. So it's essentially reading the same as Bosk's.
Whenever an Empire ally gains or loses a status effect, they recover 2% protection. Yeah, I think what I'm... Yeah, that makes sense. So, and if you get multiple deep... Yeah, so it's the sheer number. So... If you so IG-88 is going to heal people pretty decently on his AOE.
Yeah.
Under this fleet.
Yep. Yeah, and just like Dengar will heal up a bunch with his mini mind mayhem too.
Yep. Yep. So I think that's where Ednar this becomes really good again, because I think these AOEs that inflict a ton of debuffs, you know, globally to the entire other team, no matter what happens, whether they stick or not, just the fact that they proc it all, or like you've got a chance to do some really great healing, and there's a lot of sustainability on this. You know, and plus you get the 50% max protection, additional tenacity. It's not bad defense. I mean, that's they become a lot beefier, so now they can just kind of get into the rest of their. Because they all have good uniques and stuff that play well well with each other, and they're already going to do a ton of damage. So this is again like a sustainability lead to keep them alive, so that they can do that damage over a long period of time. If you're thinking about a range, yeah.
Right. And now, one thing before we go on that Inquisitor Shadow kind of brought up, we forgot to go over, is that these contracts, you know, there's a new little symbol with it, so you can tell who to attack.
Yeah. Now they did have a. Like a training,
right?
Thing
tutorial, which your contract, whether it be the healthiest enemy or the weakest enemy or whoever, whatever the freaking contract says, it's that there's a little blue icon that looks like a potency cross, or a potency symbol that's in blue. That's your contract. That's what you have to go for. So just to clarify and help people. With their figuring out which contract to go for,
yeah,
or who to go after instead of trying to figure out, okay, who on the team is okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, like they did a good job pointing out of how telling you it's not a guessing game and a tracking game now.
Yeah, and I don't know if we said anything about it before or not. I might have missed it, but just to clarify.
Yeah. And then we got one more ability to talk, well, two more, one more unique ability to talk for Bosk, and that is, Trandoshan Rage, and this is Zeta, and it is Bosk has plus 50% defense and plus 50% max health while he has taunt, and gains plus 50% offense and plus 50% health steal while attacking buffed enemies. When Bosk loses taunt, he gains taunt for one turn if the weakest enemy has protection. It's a good unique. Now it's worth noting the Zeta, and just reading into it my initial thoughts, the Zeta, this one, not worth it. Because the Zeta is when Bosk loses taunt, he gains taunt for one turn if the weakest enemy has protection.
I like it though.
I
like it a lot.
You like it for one turn.
Yeah.
Because his taunt is on a 4-turn cooldown that lasts 3 turns.
Right.
No, but if you get rid of it, so that's the thing. Like, it's just like old Ben Zeta, So when you get rid of the taunt, it comes right back. So you better have someone else to get rid of that taunt, or he just continues to take damage for a little while and you still can't get to the other characters.
So but that's like, only if the weakest enemy has protection. So
right, but in the beginning of a battle, that's highly likely.
At the beginning, yes.
So when Thrawn goes, most likely everyone still has protection. And when he goes, he fractures Bossk with the taunt up. He gains it right back. Or he should gain it right back, just like the old Ben Zeta.
Yep, he will. He'll gain it. He should gain it back. Yeah, I would think so. But I think that's the beauty of it. Like, in the beginning of the battle, losing taunt off your tank can screw everything up, right? But in this instance, your tank has protection against that, which I think is incredibly helpful. I like it. I don't think you have to have it right away, but I definitely think over time this is one you're going to want to use.
Yeah. Well, especially if you plan on running him with your arena team at all. I mean, you're going to have to grab that.
Yeah, it's super helpful. And that whole, like, weakest enemy has protection thing is definitely so that this uniquely happens in early battle when it's the most crucial for your taunt to be up.
Yeah. So then let's go over his contract. And this is a contract that pays out whether he's the lead or not. And I love it. It's Bossk recovers 5% health and 5% protection at the start of his turn, and half that much whenever another bounty hunter ally starts their turn. So he's gaining 2.5% health and protection every turn outside of his own, plus 5% on both on his turn.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, all right, you're going to be at full health a lot. So, I like it. I love this. It's a good one. It is a good one. So, that is the Bossk kit. So, now that we know all that stuff, let's talk about the Bounty Hunters as a team. Bossk is the leader. Like, that's your go-to right there. Bossk is the leader. You almost have to.
There's not really another leader after... really going through all that and just saying, oh yeah, well, I think Greedo is probably the second best leader. Say, if you have to give up Bossk in platoons.
Yeah, which I won't do.
Which I will probably have to.
I think the only other leader that really makes sense is Greedo. In certain situations. I don't like, what was it? I'm not a fan of Boba's lead. I mean, it's a good lead, but they didn't change enough of it, and his contract is okay.
It's the contract, though. The rest of his lead is still awesome.
Yeah, but the only giving, like, plus 25% tenacity. Like you said, until somebody proves me otherwise, tenacity to me is useless. Like,
yeah, it does.
Like,
it does,
and that's all it's adding. So Boba, you can take the Boba lead and throw it out the window.
Well, what was the one that reduced tenacity stacking?
That is IG-88's individual payout. So the payout for IG-88's individual is IG-88 critical hits to enemies reduce their tenacity by 10% stacking.
Tenacity. Okay, yeah, no, so not potency. Yeah, there's really no reason for that tenacity one then. Boba's is still nice for the extra speed, and all that crit damage is still good, and the crit chance is good.
Speed, you get that from Bossk.
No, Bossk is still. I mean,
Bossk,
I agree
if you do the contract with Bossk, everyone gets plus 50 speed.
Yeah, you get. I mean, so you, yeah, it happens a little bit quicker with Boba, but you get a lot. You get you know, just about the same amount, and you get it not that much slower. So it's no his. I mean, it's definitely Bossk. It's definitely Bossk. There's a reason why he's added to the game. It's not just to sit on part of the team. It's to be the main component of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking, I mean, and there's not much wiggle room for this stuff. It's like, they have five bounty hunters reworked. You have a five-person bounty hunter team. Like, yep. It's a matter of who's in the lead, and right now it's Bossk is the leader.
Yeah.
Coleman, you're muted. Still muted, buddy. All right. Special need Coleman. All right. Now, with that said, do you think bounty hunters are going to be arena viable?
Sure. But yeah, maybe. I haven't, I don't, game changer videos never really tell me enough about that until you get in there with, like, into your own shard with, you know, the different team builds that there are. I think they'll be good enough on offense. You just gotta wait to see on defense, if their increased survivability from what it looks like to be very good in practice is very good. I think if their survivability is very strong, then there's no reason why they wouldn't be viable in arena. But if their survivability still remains kind of meh in the arena environment, then I could see where no, they're still going to be probably just a fun team you could use on offense and more likely be something that's really good in raids.
Yeah, I think they're really going to thrive in the raid. I don't know if they're going to thrive so much in arena. I want them to thrive in arena because I'm going all in on bounty hunters. Like, I'm going to get Bossk to 7 stars when he's released. Yeah, it will be nice.
Money, 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 money!
Yeah, basically.
Money!
Hey,
man, I like it. I like it.
I mean, why the hell not? I mean, yeah. I don't even know if it will be money, money, money. I mean, I'm sitting on a crap load of crystals right now. And then they come out on... He's going to be coming out on May the 4th.
Yep, Crystal Promotions.
So we'll have the Crystal Promotions to buy Bossk, if needed.
How many crystals are you sitting on?
I mean, three golds worth.
He has 45,000 crystals saved up.
I don't have 45,000.
He's breaking his Hondo bank.
I'm getting close to 20,000.
It's not bad.
Yeah, so, it's pretty good.
So, like, I'm going to use those crystals and then pray to God I get one of those 100 and, you know, 360 packs or whatever.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get to his 7-star, be 95 or 100, and get a 330 just to piss you off.
Yep. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm not planning on them being arena viable.
Nope, I wouldn't be.
I'm planning on them being really good in territory battles and really good in raids. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I do fine in arena, you know. I'm doing fine in arena.
Yeah, in all honesty, I think the focus right now is definitely raiding.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone has shard chats anyway. It's like, the arena's become, as long as you can beat the teams on your arena... Most people that are high in arena are already in their shard chats and are coordinating payouts anyway. So
yeah,
you're right.
Investing
in really good Sith raid teams is going to pay out the highest rewards as far as being able to make the most progress because you'll finish better. So
yeah.
So now with all this brought into the game, they did release some new content that we weren't really aware of.
Prepared for?
Yeah, so we'll just go over this real quick. We won't spend a whole lot of time. The daily login character for me is Han Solo.
All of them.
What?
Yeah, all of them. You get all four. But that's in preparation of the Han Solo movie.
Wait, I thought there were five.
No, there will be five.
There's not five yet. And it's not all of them. That's obviously a
maybe
joke.
Maybe it's the new Han Solo, though. Which I still don't give a crap about, whatever.
Alright,
In order to unlock Emilia Clarke, we need the new Han Solo, the new Chewbacca, the new Lando Calrissian, the new droid, and
a droid.
Emilia Clarke. I don't know what the droid's name is. I don't care.
All right, let's go on to what they released. So they did, we touched on it earlier, the contracts tutorial. It was just a real quick way to introduce you to contracts. It's gone by now, so if you haven't done it.
It's already out.
Tough crap. Galactic Bounties, though, is something that no one really expected.
No.
And it's basically like a reoccurring almost...
A very rare event, like a Chimera event, almost, I guess.
I would say it has to be more prevalent than a Chimera event, or Chimera event. Because it's not like they're handing out, like, bolt loads of shards. It's like they're handing out 20 shards each time, depending on how good your bounty hunters are geared up. So basically what it is there's, like, six tiers. You only get two attempts.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't care how geared your bounty hunters are currently. You weren't passing that Wampa.
Nope. But it probably was meant to have Bossk in there.
Yeah, that's my only conclusion.
So, like, you get shards for characters, and the characters this time around were Paploo, Han Solo, Rebel Force Leia, Imperial Probe Droid, and Wampa. And you could only attack two times, and not all of them two times in general. And then you get shards if you complete it. And it varies from easy to difficult. And they said these are going to be recurring, and it's not always going to be the same characters. They're going to cycle out characters. It's basically, they're just adding in a fun new way to occasionally get, you know, shards.
They were fun. They were tuned nicely. They were hard. My bounty hunters, which weren't great, like, I was impressed by the difficulty, and it wasn't like unfun difficult. Like, I actually liked the mechanics of it. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I just went with Paploo because at that point my bounty hunters weren't geared up for crap.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this, see how it goes.
Yeah.
So that was something that we should start seeing again. It's going to be coming back on May 7th, so just after the Bossk event. They did release that the Bossk event is coming on May the 4th. So be prepared for that, along with all whatever other crap they give to us on May the 4th. I mean, we're going to have this event. We're going to have discount crystals. We're going to have other stuff. We just don't know what. Chewy shards. We're going to get Chewy shards. So the marquee event will start on the 4th, ends on May 6th, just like any other marquee event. Let's see. There's a new Rebel Assault Battle, which pits bounty hunters and Imperial troopers against Rebels. Form a team, either faction or a mix, to show the Rebel scum who rules the galaxy. It's an 8-encounter, like, battle, and then the event features 2 bonus abilities, 1 for each faction. So bounty hunters get an extra, you know, it's called many disintegrations. Gain a bonus with the following benefits. +100% crit chance. +100% defense. Imperial troopers gain rapid fire. Attack 1 to 5 times. Basically, there's going to be... It's another way to get shards. And it looks like you're going to be getting, what, Rogue One and Phoenix shards from doing
this?
No,
it's... It looks like the rewards up in the game. It looks like every single Rebel, except for, like, Rollo and the obvious ones.
Well, no, alright, so Tier 1 awards shards, blueprints primarily of the Rogue One and Phoenix Squadron Rebels sub-factions. Tier 2 is classic film Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So, OG, Luke, Princess Leia, Lando.
Yeah.
And then Tier 3 is a combination of 1 and 2.
Yeah, which kind of... Since they specified Rogue One as a subclass, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, are we going to finally see a Rogue One tag?
Is there not a Rogue One tag?
No. I would love one. Like, just because it's a pain in the butt to go find them all.
No, there has to be.
Go look.
No, you can filter by Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Rogue One tag.
What?
Rebel nice. Rogue One. Yeah, there's a Rogue One tag.
Yeah. No hey, way. Coleman, you should go look. All right.
Yeah.
You see my phone in my hand? You see my phone?
So the reworks for Bounty Hunters went out. Couple of things they know about Bounty Hunter issues.
Oh, shit. When did that get
there? I'm pretty sure always.
Yeah, it's been there for a while. I don't know if it was there at the very beginning when they came out, but I want to say it was, but I don't know.
No, this just got added, like, not too long ago, I swear.
All right. You're telling yourself that.
I would say the latest it was possibly added, if it was added late, was at Territory Battles, because they made them specific to that one battle.
So, the latest it could be was Thanksgiving of last year. So, way to be up on the game, Coleman.
I don't click on Rebels too often, okay? I almost never do.
Alright, with the introduction of this new content, we are getting the Shard Shuffle. So, Rose and Holdo got put into individual hard nodes. Holdo's on Darkside 7C, and Rose is on Lightside 4F. Characters I will not be farming, except maybe Holdo.
I was going to say, if two characters hit the board but nobody notices, are they actually
in game?
Yeah.
I mean, Holdo is okay in the
Holdo's
raid.
Okay. Holdo's decent in arena. I ran her for like 2 weeks and she was fine with a JTR team, but it's just they're both kind of blah.
Yeah. So those got brought into the games along with individual packs, as always with the reworks. So 50 shards for $14 for all the OG bounty hunters. You're gonna see a boss pack, all that stuff. For limited time, 5 resistance. There's a first order and resistance pack that I don't think anyone's gonna buy. Ooh, some changes. Hard node daily action cap increase. So for a limited time, PvE hard nodes were increased from 5 to 8. So it'll make it easier to farm those hard nodes. So that's a bonus. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I'm using that for my Night Sister Zombie and Talzin.
I'm using it for Rose.
I want that just to not go away. I want that to stay forever.
You're not using it on Rose. Shut up, Coleman.
Nope.
Oh god.
So difficult all the time. So yeah, that's the content update. That is the content update that we got. So I mean, really that's all we have this week. We did actually just hit 50 followers too. Oh. So alright, we have confirmation. When they added the new search, they added Rogue One.
Ha!
So that was around that time, right?
A
few weeks ago.
That was just a few weeks ago?
I think so.
I don't know. That search was before a few weeks ago.
No. Nah, man. That was like maybe a month or two, maybe a month and a half ago.
I honestly don't know. I got no clue.
But, I don't know. All right. I know.
Yeah.
I'm about to go black. I'm about to go dark here. My iPad's about to die.
All right. Well, good thing we're finishing up. We're finishing up the show. Coleman, you got anything before you disconnect and we lose you?
Let's see. Hey, big thanks to getting 50 followers. Let's keep it going.
Yes, 50 followers. That's the big first number you want to hit on Twitch. So let's keep that going. It was a month ago. Damn it, I hate it when Coleman's right.
You see,
Dave.
Well, technically, all right. So we were wrong with how long ago it was added, but he also didn't know it existed, so he wasn't really right.
I mean,
it wasn't added that long ago, and I'd never look up Rogue One to begin with, or Rebels in general, or Lightside in general. But anyway,
something that happened a month ago, you ask for it to be added to the game. That's still wrong. But then we were wrong with how wrong you were. We overstated your wrongness.
We were all wrong.
There you go.
So, all
right.
Dave, you got anything?
No, we won't. We'll mess something up again next time.
It's probably true. Nah, I don't have anything. Just looking forward to May the 4th, see what else special stuff we get. Hopefully we get some cool stuff coming up this week.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes, may the fourth be with you.
And be easier in your bank account this year.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen, you haven't to move off of Star Wars for a second.
Oh yes.
Did you guys see Infinity War?
Yes.
All right.
I was disappointed.
You were the devil. Yeah, you're the devil.
Yeah. I can understand why someone might be disappointed, but I was not disappointed.
I thought Thanos was one of the best villains they've done. No.
I thought Thanos was one of the best villains they've done. That's all I'm saying.
Nope. I really connected with Thanos during the movie. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to freaking say.
Okay.
Right. I really connected with him.
So, can we do Infinity War spoiler talk next one?
Yeah.
Well, we should have a guest on next week. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We can tell everybody to drop off or
kind of like what we did with The Last Jedi.
Like a hard break, and then they
here we go again. The 4-hour episode. I'll be sure to charge my iPad for that.
You won't do 4 hours. I God knows I don't want to be on for 4 hours. No. I just want to do like 20 minutes. That's all.
All right. Well, we lost Coleman. Everyone have a good night. We'll see you later.
Peace.